Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. I mean, in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Podcast Manager Show. In this episode, I am talking to Melissa Harsnein about case studies and how we can use case studies to attract our ideal clients. Melissa shares some great tips on getting case studies and how powerful they can be for our business, from landing those ideal clients to building authority in this niche. All right, let's go talk to Melissa. Hi, Melissa. It is so great to have you on the Podcast Manager Show to talk about case studies so that we can use that to our advantage when, you know, growing our authority and, you know, starting to land clients as podcast managers. And before we get into that topic, I would love to know a little bit about you and how you got started in online business.
Yeah, thanks, Lauren. I'm super excited about this. I love talking about case studies. I actually started my business about 4 years ago in 2016, and I initially had a local business, a local marketing studio, and I was doing all different types of services. You know, I was managing social media pages, I was writing ad copy, writing website copy, articles, blogs, case studies, graphic design, you know, kind of like a lot of us are when we first start out in business, just kind of doing a little bit of everything for everybody. And I realized that that was not sustainable and I wouldn't be able to grow my business in a way that felt right for me. And so about a year ago, I started looking into what it would take to pivot my business into an online business model. And so I launched my online business this spring and it's already been so life-giving and fulfilling for me. I've niched down my services and now I'm just offering two things, website copy and case studies. And I'm really just working with service providers, you know, people who are offering some kind of a service to others. And so that's helped me really streamline and simplify my business. And it's also allowed me to work with clients I love, doing work that I love, and make, you know, more money in less time.
Like, hey, if you want less money, then we can all do whatever we want, right? I love that you launched your business in the spring. Was that a planned time or was COVID wrapped up in that?
So my initial plan was to launch my business the first week of March. It obviously went off the rails because of the way the world was. So I hit pause just for 2 months and kind of took a step back and gave myself a chance to kind of regroup and think, is this really the audience I want to be served? Is this the right time to be working with this audience? Are these the right services for this time? And so I made a few tweaks and then really, you know, went full force again in June after I'd had kind of had that pause.
Yeah. And I mean, online business, I feel like has been full steam ahead. So yeah, I'm sure it was a great time for you to pivot. So you used to do everything, and I really relate to that. What type of businesses were you working with when you were more of the brick and mortar style?
I worked with a huge variety of businesses, everything from a landscaping company to a ballroom dance teacher to construction, insurance, accounting, even a biotech person. A friend from college had invented some MRI software that can detect Alzheimer's up to 20 years before symptoms start.
Wow. Bravo to them. That's amazing. So then I want to know, or I guess for anyone that isn't really sure what a case study is, like explain to us really what a case study would look like and all the different pieces that would make it a case study versus like a testimonial.
So I think the simplest way to think about a case study is that it is a success story told in your client's own words. So a testimonial, you know, is usually just a paragraph or a few sentences, but a case study can be anywhere from 500 to even 1200 words. It's a longer story and it has a really strong structure. So you're looking at what is the problem that your client had before they hired you? What was going on in their life? What were they struggling with? What was keeping them awake at night or like giving them heartburn because they were so stressed about it? And then the middle part of the case study is about what was your solution? How did you help them solve a problem? How did your services, you know, relieve stress, you know, save time, make their lives easier? And then the final section is the result. And a lot of people think that results are, you know, money or dollars or numbers, like data. But I love looking at results in terms of more of those intangible qualities. I have more time now to play with my kids in the middle of the day instead of trying to like get them out the door so that I can finish editing this podcast. Or, you know, I have more time at night to read a book because I'm not staying up late emailing a bunch of clients. So I think I love those types of quality of life results in addition to the numbers and the metrics and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. How do you recommend your clients and us to use case studies? So where would these be showing up?
Yeah, that's actually one of the best parts about case studies is because they are so multifunctional. You can use them in almost every single part of your marketing funnel. So early on, you can take a really great testimonial or quote from your case study, and you can turn it into a really cute Instagram quote. You can take two or three different case studies, package them into a PDF, and then put them on your website as a lead magnet, as an opt-in. You know, your potential clients can sign up and get this list of how you've helped other people solve problems in the past and the results that you've gotten for them. Mm-hmm. You can also, you know, have an entire page on your website where you're listing out your case studies. And I think the best and most effective part of case studies that I've seen is late in that decision-making process, where you've already been on a sales call with someone, they're interested in working with you, you send them a proposal and those next steps. And one of my clients started attaching her case studies to her proposals, and she's had a 100% proposal acceptance rate since she started doing that. And she even raised her rates in the middle of that. And so I think the reason they're so powerful, especially late in the process when people are making that decision, is because people want to feel confident in whenever they're spending money, especially right now in the middle of the pandemic. People are spending money, but they're being a little bit more cautious and careful about where they invest. And so a case study demonstrates that you've done this before, you've gotten results, and people loved working with you. And I think that credibility part of it is key.
Yeah. And I love that timing, because when a potential client gets on a call with you and the call goes well, right after the call, they feel really good about the decision. So they probably have already decided, okay, I'm probably going to end up working with this person, but I'm waiting for the proposal. Then they get the proposal and they decide, okay, yes, I'm still kind of jazzed up from the call. But then at some point, I find like the enthusiasm will wean. Like if they wait a little bit too long or whatever it is, you know, throwing in a case study then would just kind of re-enthusiize them to think, okay, wait, this is the right decision. You're just reminding them, hey, the value is here. Let's get started.
I think one of the other cool things about case studies is that they are a story. And I've heard that stories are up to 22 times more memorable than facts alone. And so, you know, you were talking about, Lauren, how people kind of forget, like they lose enthusiasm over time. And so having that story, like not only is it rational and explaining very logically, like why you're a great fit for them, but it does have those emotional elements that connects with people's hearts and like fills them with excitement and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Tell us about how we can get a case study from people that we're working with.
So the first step is setting up an interview. And it's probably similar to what you guys are already doing as podcast managers, sending out a calendar link, getting someone to find a time. But the other step of it is having really great interview questions prepared ahead of time. Go beyond the what questions and focus on the why, the underlying emotions, beliefs, fears, you know, those intangible things. So some examples of some good interview questions that you can ask are, what were you feeling before we started working together? What were you struggling with? What kind of an impact was that making on your life? You know, what did that stress actually feel like in your day? What did that overwhelm or lack of time or whatever that emotion is? Just press a little bit deeper and keep asking why. So what? What does that mean? Give me an example. Because the more vivid and the more specific descriptions you can add into your case studies, the more relatable that they're going to be to the person who's reading them.
Yeah. Just to backtrack a bit, how do you generally get people on a call in this way? Because a lot of the people that I work with, they're hard to get a hold of. Like, how do you usually tell your clients to like ask for the case study?
So what I recommend is that I give my clients an email template that they can send and customize it if they want, to introduce me to the person who's being featured in the case study. And then I send them an email and follow up with my scheduling link and say, hey, choose a time, whatever works best for you with your calendar. And if I haven't heard back from them in, you know, 5 to 7 days, I'll send another email and just said, hey, I'm looking forward to connecting with you. And I always be sure that I let them know, only 30 minutes, it won't take a lot of your time. All you got to do is hop on a Zoom call. And I also give them just a list of questions so that they know what to expect. So they're not just coming onto it and like have no idea what I'm going to ask them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. We know exactly what interview questions we're going to ask our client to get the greatest, you know, answers out of them. what do we do once we are off that call?
The next step that I take is I transcribe that audio recording, you know, in something like Zoom. I take it into an app that I use called Otter, and it's a free app that turns, you know, words, spoken words into written words. And then I print out that transcript. I found that this works really, really well for me because then I take my highlighters and my pens and I just mark it up. I highlight really strong quotes that I want to make sure that I put in my story. I highlight really compelling details. I highlight, you know, places where that client is talking about emotions or pain points or desires or whatever. And then once I have that transcript marked up, I put it into an outline. And I have like one section that says problem, one section that says solution, and one section that says results. And I just start copying and pasting little pieces into the outline. And once I have kind of that framework there, then I go back and start, you know, kind of retelling the story. And I'll often listen to that transcript or that recording several times. So I kind of get that person's voice in my head and I'm capturing, you know, their natural speaking tendencies. And, you know, maybe another really strong quote will come up that I'd kind of forgotten about. But it's just all about layering the pieces together.
Mm-hmm. So then whenever just to get clear on this, whenever you're writing this, you're saying like, if I was the client who had the transformation, then you would be saying, Lauren felt this way. It would be coming from, it would be like first person or third person.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So what I do is it's maybe like an introductory statement about when Lauren first started working with Sarah, she was really unsure about how that process was going to work. You know, she wasn't sure what to expect. So Sarah reassured her by, you know, laying out the plan. And then after kind of that introductory statement, I would have a direct quote from you, from Lauren, talking about, in your own words, what that was like. Mm. And then move on to another kind of summary statement, you know, the next piece of the process. So I just, every other paragraph is a kind of an introductory statement and then a direct quote from the client. Does
awesome.
That make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So you, like you said, you're layering like kind of you dictating the story with these actual quotes. Once you have it all put together, what do you have to do to really be able to use it in your marketing?
So it's really important to make sure that the person that you're featuring in the story is okay with it because you want them to be the hero. You want them to feel comfortable with how they're being represented in the public. So I always send a copy of the final draft to my client and to their client just to get their sign off and have them fill out a little bit for them just to make sure that they are okay with how they're being presented to the public.
Yeah, I totally get that because everyone wants to make sure that they're, you know, the story is being told in the right way or whatever. Not maybe not flattering, but at least in a good way. Okay. So I know one thing that you talk about is like doing market research and how case studies can help with market research. So how is this process? How do you connect market research to this process?
So I think that they both start at the same place with talking with your customers, observing your customers, and hearing how they speak in real life. Because I think that the most effective marketing that you can create is actually written not in your own words, but in your customers' words that you're reflecting back to them. And so doing interviews like you're doing with case studies is a really great way to get that insight directly from your customers' work. If you happen to do onboarding questionnaires or if you record your discovery calls on Zooms, that's another great place to get words from your clients where they're talking about, again, their pain points, their struggles, like their desires. Like those are kind of the three big things that you're looking for. The other place that you can look is on social media. So if you're in a Facebook group, if you're, you know, in an Instagram post, look at what people are talking about. And you can even go on your competitors', you know, websites and see what are the testimonials that they're posting on their websites and what are those people talking about with their challenges and desires and struggles.
Yeah, definitely. That was one thing that I picked up through my testimonials early on was that a lot of my clients were saying that they had no interest in editing. They had no interest in learning the tech side of podcasting. So I connected my business to that because I have a huge interest in that. So it was a perfect match. And I realized that the podcasters that didn't have any interest in the tech side, they were really ideal clients because they weren't going to micromanage the process because they just wanted you to do it and you to do it well. So I agree that we can get some really great information from testimonials and or what our clients are talking about.
I think one of the other cool things about case studies is it not only builds credibility in your client's eyes, but honestly, it gives credibility to yourself. Because it doesn't matter how far along you are in your business, whether you've been doing it for 1 year or 20 years, everyone struggles with imposter syndrome at some point. Everybody wonders, am I really cut out for this? Am I really doing a good job at this? Can I actually do this project that this person wants to hire me for? And so having a case study is just like a little reminder to yourself. It's like a little love letter. Like, I do know what I'm doing. I have gotten results. I have helped other people be successful. And, you know, one of my clients has talked about that's been one of the biggest benefits for her of having case studies is that it just helps her feel confident in her own skills and her own ability to serve her clients.
Yeah, I can totally see that. How can having these case studies really attract more of our ideal clients?
That's a great question. You know, I think one of the good things to highlight in case studies is your unique process. So what are the things that you do as a podcast manager that are saving time, you know, for your clients? And is there anything really specific that you do that's different from what other people in your industry do? And so when you have that process laid out, you're not just communicating what you do, but communicating why it matters and the difference that it makes, then that's going to attract the type of people that are wanting those problems solved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Because you're showing through that process of the case study, you're showing that this person had these problems that the reader, the prospective client, is going to be able to relate with. They're going to see, oh, they were able to solve all of these problems with their services, their process of what they're doing. So yeah, that makes sense. So going back to doing that customer research, once you've gathered that information, that data, what more can you do with that?
So whenever you're creating some marketing content, whether it be a social media post, an email, a website, whatever it is, read through that document where you've saved that customer research, you know, whether it's a Google Doc or a spreadsheet or whatever, and try to find some of those key phrases and then use them in the marketing content that you're creating. I often do this with website headlines or even an email subject line in particular, because when you're taking your customers' exact words and reflecting them back to them, like in a mirror, then that's when they really resonate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if your potential clients can say something like, wow, she was like reading my mind, he or she, then you know that copy is really powerful. But it's like you're saying, it's really easy to do that, to be in their head when you just mirror back their words.
Exactly. And it helps when you have a process for making that happen. You know, sometimes I feel overwhelmed if I just am like, oh, I need to have all this information to be able to write like my customers. And I've got, you know, a sticky note here and I've got a document here and I have an email there. But it's helped me a lot just to get organized in that process. And so, like I said, sometimes it's a Google Doc, sometimes it's a spreadsheet, but just having one place where you save that information when you come across it, you know, even if it's in an email where a prospective client is reaching out to you and you're like, ding, 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 I want to like save that for the future. That's a really great phrase, or that's a really interesting point of view. Taking that sentence or that paragraph or even the entire email and just copying it into a reference document that you can look back to so that you're not creating from scratch. You're not just trying to like conjure up these words or phrases when you're creating your marketing content, but you have some place to start and then strategically weave them into whatever it is that you're writing.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that this process, if we're in the period of our business of we're trying to land clients, we're trying to get our business up and going, I think it's smart to take a minute to do a case study like this. Once you've landed a client that you really love, I hear people say all the time, like, I wish I could just duplicate this one client. You know, like I love this client, but I want two more of them. And if you as a podcast manager could just take a step back from being in that landing clients mode to get a great case study, then you could then, you know, duplicate your one awesome client. And the way that I teach growing a podcast manager business, you really only need like 3 to 5 clients. So taking a minute to put the time in to do an awesome case study would be really beneficial to then land those, since you don't need numbers, you need quality over quantity.
And I would really encourage your listeners to take some time and reflect or journal or whatever is the most effective method for them. And just think about, what is it about this customer that I love? You know, is it that they get back to me really quickly when I send them emails? Is it I love the people that they're interviewing on their show? You know, if you can figure out those traits and figure out why you love working with this person, and then write those specific things into your case study, then that's the type of people that you're going to attract in the future so that you can duplicate, you can clone those clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I like that you brought up that you, something that you could like about a client was like just the relationship versus like who they are. I feel like the online business space covers really well, like niching down to an ideal client. But part of an ideal client isn't just like who they're, what kind of podcaster they are, but also who they are as like a business owner, you know, how they're communicating with you, how they, you know, treat you. That sounds a little funny, but it is, you know, how they treat you as a contractor. And there's a lot of things about someone that you can connect with that's not exactly what they're talking about on their show. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. One thing I'm curious about is once you have that Zoom call with someone and you've gotten information from them, how long does it take you to put that case study together?
It probably takes me a couple of weeks. You know, I maybe spend a day or two taking that transcript and marking it up and kind of figuring out the things that I want to highlight and then writing the outline. And then I usually work on it, you know, in 2 to 4 hour chunks at a time. Because I found when I just put it aside and let it simmer, it's like the great ideas or, you know, the connections, the transition points, like they just kind of bubble up in those moments when I'm taking a shower, I'm making bread, I'm doing something, you know, where I'm not actually thinking about it. That's where like those really great creative ideas come from. And probably the longest part of the process is just waiting for sign off and approval, you know, because like you said earlier, Lauren, people are busy. And even though they know this is important, it's not necessarily their first priority. And so just making sure that you have a really good process in place for following up and don't just forget about it, you know, make sure you have a task to follow up with someone in 5 days or 7 days if they don't respond right away when you're asking for feedback or approval or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And to be clear, you're following up on behalf of your client, right?
Correct. Following up on behalf of my client, sending the draft to my client first so they can approve it, and then sending it to my client's client so that the person being featured in the story so that they can approve it too.
You talking there just made me think that one of the benefits of the person being featured, one thing that you could use to encourage them to do this with you is that they're then going to be on your website. So if they're a podcaster, then their podcast then is going to be featured on your website. So whoever is looking at your website will then know more about that. So our listeners could use that as a, you know, kind of a swing point to get someone to get on a call with them.
That's such a great point. I have a really fun story about this. So a couple months ago, I sent some sample case studies to an OBM who was thinking about hiring me to write some case studies for her. And in the process, so the person featured in these sample case studies is a sales page writer. And this OBM was not even thinking, it wasn't even on her radar that she wanted to hire a sales page writer. But as she read these sample case studies, they were so compelling that she's like, I actually started looking into her and got on her website and wanted to learn more about her. And now I'm thinking about hiring her. Like, that's what's so cool about case studies is that the person being featured, like, they look amazing, you look amazing, and people that are reading them are like, I need this, I want this.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have that problem with being a podcast manager. I listen to these interviews all the time, and like you said, they're story-based, and so they're really compelling. And I'll edit a show, and I'll just like start following the person on the show, and I am not someone that the interviewee even thought that they would, you know, influence, because they don't think about me necessarily. How many case studies do you usually recommend someone having on their website or wherever?
I think it's great to have 3 case studies. And it's also really helpful if you can feature different types of clients in those case studies, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe one has a podcast in one niche versus another. Maybe one has a certain way of doing things, or this person really loved your process and this person really loved how you saved them time. If you can highlight different aspects of what you do and who you serve and how you do it, then you're going to be able to reach a much broader group of prospective clients. Because even though you have an ideal client in your mind, they're not exact clones. There's different things, you know, that you click with different people. And so having 3 case studies not only lets you highlight those different aspects of who these people are, but also it just is a really well-rounded way to demonstrate trust and credibility and authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I'm thinking too, with approaching your client with this idea of doing a case study, one of the things that I generally do and I teach is to send a type form link or a Google form link to extract a testimonial from someone. And you could still send that to a client, but then you could say at the end, like, I would love to feature you as a case study on my website. And you could, you know, have a couple bullets of why that would be a great idea for them, how that would help them. And then do you think it would be too passive to say, reach out to me if you're interested? Or like, if we were to go that route of like putting it in a form like that, what do you think we should say to try to get our client to say yes to doing this?
It's a really great idea. I've never actually thought about that before, about putting in a form. I like it. But I do agree that it could be a good idea to kind of put the idea in their mind, mm-hmm. but also I think more intentionally follow up with them. Again, set a task reminder, you know, in a week, in 2 weeks, in a month, whatever that period of time that makes sense for you and your business, to actually then go back to them and reach out and say, hey, I would really love to feature you in a case study on my website. You know, it'll help you get some more visibility. You know, you'll get that SEO juice. You'll get those backlinks that are so important. But also, I just loved working with you. And I want other people to understand like how amazing you are. And I just really want to celebrate you, what you're doing with your podcast. And so sometimes that's enough for people. Sometimes offering an incentive, you know, like a Starbucks gift card or some kind of a gift card or a gift of some sort, just to kind of compensate them for the time. You kind of get to feel out your client, you know, whether they're they'll just do anything to help anyone. That's just their heart. Or is it more of their time is really, really important. And if they are going to help you in that way, they kind of want something in return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Those are some great ideas. I'm thinking that this could be used really well as like an Instagram story too, that you would then put as a highlight on your Instagram. Like, I feel like it would easily break up into like a story on Instagram.
Exactly. And I write written case studies. My specialty isn't in audio like your audience is, but I bet you could take the audio recording of the transcript, right, of that interview and turn it into little clips on Instagram story as mm-hmm. well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's such a good point. That's such a like a meddling of this idea. Love that. So besides landing clients, are there other ways that a case study could help you to get more visible in your industry?
Yes. So I've seen people use case studies when they're pitching podcasts. So if you want to go and speak on a podcast about your skills as a podcast manager or what a podcast manager can offer, using that case study in your email pitch can really help demonstrate credibility. It shows that you know your stuff and you know what you're talking about. And you could also use it if you're wanting to write a guest post on someplace like Forbes. You know, again, the best part about case studies is that they do demonstrate credibility, authority, and like get people to trust you really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I talk a lot about how our potential clients, they don't need us to have a ton of experience, but they need to trust us. So I think this is like hitting that on the head. And then another thing that podcast managers have the ability to do is, you know, cold pitch podcasters, because podcast management is still a new niche, a new service. And so there's a lot of podcasters out there that don't really even know that this is a thing. Like maybe they think like, oh, there's got to be like a podcast VA that exists, but they don't understand that there's people out there that do exactly podcast management. So cold pitching can be really effective. And I love that you're saying we could use a case study. Like if we were to cold pitch a potential client, we could then say, oh, by the way, here's a case study of someone I've worked with, and they don't know anything about this potential client, doesn't know anything about us, but they're able to connect really quickly through that story.
I think that's a really interesting point, you know, Lauren, that your industry, your service is still pretty new. And so I think there's a need for education. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that case studies do, especially because they are focused on, you know, process, solution, results. You're helping prospective clients who maybe have no idea what a podcast manager does. They have no idea how you can help them. But when they're reading that story, they're not only being educated about what you do and the value you provide, but they're also, you know, having that emotional connection. The lights are going off in their head. They see, you know, this is someone that can actually solve the problem that I have. And I didn't even know I had that problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I knew I had that problem, but I didn't think that someone would really be able to help me with it. I'm having anxiety at night because of my business. I didn't really think a podcast manager was the solution, but now I see that they could help a lot with that stress when you can get someone to connect with you through a story. I just feel like that's so powerful. So this, I can really see how case studies can just really launch that trust factor and your authority up. I've been having case studies on my radar because I have like happy case studies, you know? And so I've loved this personally.
I think a lot of people, when they think about writing their own case studies, they're really just thinking about writing a story from their own perspective. Like, my client came to me, they had this problem, this is what we did. But I really think the most powerful case studies come from when you can interview your client and hear in their own words what it was like to work with you and how you helped them and what they were struggling with, and using those direct quotes from your client in the story itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you said that the best way to get to really extract like those powerful quotes is to just continuing to prompt them on that call. Like when they say something, you say, oh, tell me why you felt that way. You just keep asking for more and more information, because then you'll have as many of those quotes as you need.
Exactly. And that's like one of my big things is I love following up and saying, so what does that mean to you? Why does that matter? How has that helped you? Just keep asking the why and the so what and give an example questions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Melissa, this has been awesome. And I'm so glad that you're able to educate us on case studies, because I think this is just a really powerful marketing tool for us to use. So how can the audience connect with you and kind of follow what you do?
Yeah, people can connect with me on Instagram. I'm on there almost every day. My handle is Melissa Harstein Creative. I'm sure that'll be in the show notes as well. And if you're interested in hiring someone to write case studies for you because you're just lacking the time, or interviewing people feels a little bit awkward and uncomfortable, I would love to help you with that. And so on my website, I've got a form where you can book a free discovery call.
Okay, awesome. I hope that people reach out and they start following you, because I'm sure you've got a lot to share on this. And just thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Lauren. This has been so great. I love it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton, or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook. And let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.